Yes, welcome to Air Raid, also known as The Siren, Season 1, Episode 3, where Mitchell and I just get to, for a few minutes each, get something off our chest, footy-wise. Mitchell, let you start.
I've been thinking about this for a while, and I think that the Air Raid Siren is the perfect platform to talk about this. Saturday afternoon footy should be scrapped in the AFL. Local footy...
I beg your pardon.
Years of tradition gone. I'm a traditionalist. I think keep the bounce. I'm all for a day grand final. But I think if the AFL is legitimate in its take that they want to make grassroots footy a priority under the new Andrew Dillon, or as we would say, Dill's regime.
You would say, yep.
Scrap Saturday afternoon footy at AFL level and make Saturday afternoon purely a day for local and community footy. They're going to be spending $1 billion over the next 10 years into grassroots and local footy. Give people a chance to go and watch their local footy teams. If you're a Melbourne...
So when would the earliest game on a Saturday be?
4:40. Because, well, I was thinking about this a lot over the off-season when I was in the States. When NFL is Thursday night, it is Sunday and it is Monday night. They don't care that there's no NFL for Friday or Saturday. They go and play high school football. They go and play college football.
Yeah, but culturally very different because their followings are much, much bigger.
They are. But
and televised.
I think now with the introduction of Thursday night footy, it gives you the opportunity to do this in the AFL. Local footy is the heartbeat of communities everywhere. We get sucked in to, metro. A lot of people who make decisions on these things in the past have been Metro Melbourne people or city people. You go to any country footy league around the country and the local footy and netball club is what keeps these people going in a lot of places.
Yeah, yeah. It's as you said, it's a heartbeat of a lot of towns.
And to give people the chance to go and watch their local footy team. I work in footy and I rarely go and get to watch my local footy team play. That's, I'm one of many people. But, if Essendon's playing a big game at the G on the Saturday afternoon, that's 60 to 80,000 people who aren't at local footy grounds. Go and put money into the canteen. Go and put money on the gate. Go and take your kids, have a kick at halftime at the footy. Go and listen to the huddle. I just think we need to be, rather than paying this lip service and, we're going to be putting billions of dollars, they could go and do something without even having to spend a cent, and that's scrap Saturday afternoon. Because primetime footy, let's be honest now, is Thursday night, Friday night. Sunday afternoon's a very big slot. But I think if you could open it up, first game on a Saturday at 4:40, have two Saturday night games, gives people the chance to go and watch their local team in the afternoon. And even if in some areas where the AFL game might be at 4 o'clock, bring the local footy game forward to midday or 1 o'clock. Allow people to go, get the train, drive there, get the bus, tram, whatever it is. Go and watch your local team. Go and put some money behind the canteen. Go and spend a bit of money on the bar. Get this going again, because since COVID, these places have been ripped to shreds. And I just think it's a perfect chance if the AFL is serious in what they want to do around grassroots footy and community footy, give it time to breathe and go and allow people to go and watch their local teams play.
When you initially said it, I thought it was an awful take, but you make a very strong argument. And if you said, if the AFL were to come out and say the earliest we're going to play on a Saturday is the 4:40 time slot, and we're going to invest more in Thursday night footy and that gets, even if it's not all of them, right? Even if it's 20% to start with,
yeah,
of those people then go and support their local clubs. It's great for clubs. It's great for communities. It's great for pathways. It's an economic boost for those towns.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it as an argument. I like it as a debate.
The other layer of this is I've actually quite enjoyed the later Sunday games in recent weeks as a TV viewer.
So I haven't.
Because I know you're probably off watching series and movies and
no.
doing things.
No, like no, that. No. I'm so done with footy by 6 o'clock on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I want to – that's my time where I just want to be like reading or chilling with the dog or like – maybe out having an early dinner somewhere. It's a long, particularly if you start on Thursday. So, like, I don't want the last thing I do before I go to bed is thinking about footy. I know that you do.
Oh, boy.
I know you do.
It's not what I want, but it's reality a lot of the time.
Yeah, but you need to give yourself a yeah. mental break.
That's why I'm going to invest in some candles and watch a few more series.
Mm. Mate, I'm telling you, mini max.
We have candles. I'm a candles. I like candles. I'm not a candles guy, but I exist with candles.
Now that you're getting married, yes. you got to have a think about the weekly budgets.
Mm.
How much is Kate spending on candles?
No.
What's her weekly candle spend? That's all I'm saying. Okay. Now, I was going to – are you done?
Just one other really quick mention. Apologies to Marcus Wintager. We were talking about St Kilda's midfield in the main app this week.
You can't cross-reference track.
We can. That's the whole idea of the show.
No.
Dale Buckley just pointed out it's his new favourite player. So he's – Dale Buckley's new favourite player. So apologies to him when we're talking about the Saints midfield. I think he's a big part of the future.
Okay, I was going to talk about coaches' contracts, but I've done a little bit of that in different media platforms. So I want to talk about something else that's quite close to my heart. When are we going to get over that footballers have lives outside of football? At what point in 2024 or beyond are we all going to actually stop taking the piss and accept that footballers do stuff outside of playing four quarters on a Saturday? It really pisses me off. Josh Dacos and Scott Pendlebury being criticised for attending the Grand Prix party last Wednesday was one of the worst takes I have ever seen in media.
For those who missed it, who criticised them?
I'm not going to name names because I don't want to get into fights with personal journos, and it wasn't just one.
Yep.
But, you know, headlines about eyebrows being raised and paragraphs around the optics weren't great. They are just things that we say to ourselves in the media to make us feel justified. No one's eyebrows were raised. No one thought it was a bad look. If anyone bothered to look at the facts, Josh and Scott actually went there. Josh was paid, by the way, to be there because he's an ambassador, him and his partner, who have a huge social media following.
They're the it couple of Melbourne at the moment.
Yeah, and Scott and Alex Pendlebury have been one of the high-profile marriages in football for, what, the last 20 years? They were both there standing with their partners drinking San Pellegrino water, waiting for the girls to have their photos taken, and they have to get them taken in different positions and some with cars and some without cars. And you know what it's like, Mitch. You've been to plenty of these events. Like, it's...
I'm not usually...
No, you're not the subject, but you've watched the photos being taken. And then neither of them actually walked inside the event.
That's why I didn't see them there.
Because neither of them went in. They were both just on pit lane, and they went home. They both would have been home before 8 o'clock when the sun was still up. So, that's the nth degree of the ridiculousness of it. And the other one is, you know, like, and you probably get, this is part of the reason I deleted social media. You probably get a lot of these on a Sunday morning. It's like, oh, I saw this person at the Richmond Club Hotel at 11 o'clock. And it's like, okay, cool. 22-year-old goes out, drinks beer. Who cares? Who cares? You know, at the same time that we're doing this, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this, but I had this conversation with Darcy Moore on Saturday because you know how a deep thinker he is.
He's great, yeah.
And he also loves talking about this sort of stuff, you know, the off-field and the perceptions. And, you know, we were talking about at the same time that we are trying to gain more trust with players, you know, by doing more media, we've had it worked into the CBA that more players would be available. We go and we do this stuff to them. And I find it not just incongruous, but I find it that we are being quite vindictive. And that is that we give with one hand and we punch with the other. And I don't think that's healthy for the relationships that the media are trying to have with players. And by virtue of that, it potentially damages the relationship that players are able to have with fans. Because in some way, shape or form, whether it's you or I in the mainstream media or whether it's the media of clubs, they act as a vehicle in between to connect players and everyday fans. We should have more footballers going to these events. We should have more footballers that are seen out in the new it places of restaurants in Melbourne that are willing to connect with the rest of the community. Instead, so many of them are so frightened about being photographed, whether it be by a paparazzi or by some person on the street that wants to get them in a vulnerable position,
yeah,
that more of them are locking themselves inside. More of them are shying away from the media. And I find that potentially sad.
Yeah. And back to your point around the, you know, Instagram messages, oh, this guy's out. We don't give a shit unless they're if someone's doing something illegal, maybe, you know?
Yeah. Or if it's affecting their ability to play or their club. You know, if someone doesn't turn up to training on a Monday because of whatever, then it impacts the club. That's a story.
Where do you sit on the Jack Ginnivan Grand Final Eve Moonee Valley races?
So, like, I get why that is a bad look for Collingwood. I couldn't care less as a fan, as long as he didn't seem to affect his performance. Mitch, some guys need this sort of stuff.
So, but is there a difference? That was a day game. That was a grand final. So, biggest game of the year, no doubt.
Yep.
This is a round two game on a Thursday night. It's a night game.
What time did he get home? What time was he in bed? He said he didn't drink any alcohol. I don't care.
The coach did.
Yeah, and I thought looking back, that comment hasn't aged very well, because Craig McRae probably got, I don't want to put words in his mouth here, but probably got caught up in the moment of we won a flag. And so it was easier to be like, yeah, well, he probably shouldn't have done that, you know? Whereas I would just keep that stuff in-house, personally.
For the record, I agree with you around the Dacos penalty situation. I don't think it affects anything, but you can understand where the question is being asked, can he not, in the last week, where the Ginnivan thing was such a big story. And everyone always tells us, you treat every game like it's the next. Grand finals are just like every other game. Should they be doing that? Now, I've got no issue with it, but I can understand how the conversation came about. Now, whether anyone actually had an issue with it, I don't think so. But given how strong the Pies were, not just McRae, Darcy Moore said something similar in the preseason. I think he was quoted as saying it was extraordinary, that decision. Now, that was a bit different. It was a grand final. It was a day game as opposed to Collingwood playing the night game. But I can understand where this has got to. Do I agree with it becoming a conversation point? Probably not. And I remember I was at the races, actually, the Moonee Valley, the night Jack Ginnivan was there. I didn't see him, but every second person was happy to tell me, and I thought it was unique before a grand final. We reported it the next morning, saying he's had an interesting preparation. I didn't think it was going to take off sort of the way it did.
But he wasn't drinking, right?
No, he wasn't.
Who cares? Who cares? If he was at home, he was probably watching the races anyway.
Yeah.
So what's the difference?
Collingwood.
I'm asking that. What's the difference?
I don't think we didn't report it as a hard and fast story the next day. We just reported that it was an interesting preparation, because how often do you see players the night before a grand final go to a Moonee Valley race meeting? It was unique, but I don't think there's a major issue with it, because I don't think he was there after 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Non-issue. Complete and utter non-issue.
But can you see where I'm coming from? Collingwood made that an issue. Collingwood had an issue with that.
Yeah.
So then you can you understand how the conversation around Dacos and Pendlebury has emerged?
No, not really. I just think it's a cheap way to get clicks. Let's do better. Let's all do better. Let's do stuff that's more meaningful. That's my siren.
I like it.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producers Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com.